Well, turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Please rise for the reading of God's Word. Jesus says this, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words from our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would take them in this morning, that we would mold them, and that we would be transformed by them to be the people that you want us to be, in Jesus' name. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus has a lot to say about rewards, and a lot to say particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, although not only there. We can see just in the little bit of text that we've gone through, for those of you that are new this morning, we've started in Matthew 1 and worked our way up to Matthew 6. And we can see that Jesus has already mentioned rewards twice. But when he gets to our text this morning, it's like he really expands his teaching. And in fact, all of chapter 6, one way to look at it is it's a section about what is God's reward and what does that look like and how do we receive God's reward. I want to kind of remind you of some of the things he said as we've been working through Matthew. If you'll turn back to chapter 5, verse 11, this is the first time Jesus mentions rewards in the Gospel of Matthew. We read this, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So we can see that Jesus is speaking to a group that either is or will be persecuted. And he's saying when that persecution comes, and brothers and sisters in Christ, it's easy to kind of talk about persecution in the abstract, but when persecution really comes, it brings with it a real temptation to discouragement and despair because we look around us and nothing seems to speak of the glory and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells us to do something radical here. He says, when the persecution comes, when they are persecuting you for my name's sake, when they are persecuting you because of me, and when it looks like you and me are, we're all the wrong way because everything, all the power seems to be somewhere else, what does Jesus say to do? Rejoice! Rejoice! It's because of that teaching that Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, could sing hymns and praise God. It's because of that teaching that when Paul writes to the Philippians, he's able to say, he himself is in prison at that time, and he's writing to a church that's clearly been persecuted. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So the first thing that we see about rewards in the Gospel of Matthew is that at those times in our life that seem the bleakest, the darkest, that seem in effect that the very cause of Jesus Christ is, if I can put it this way, seems to be losing, that those are the times that we rejoice. Because great is our reward That's why we rejoice. Great is our reward in heaven. We know that what we see is not all that there is. We know that the time will come when our King will return. And our reward, by His grace, will be great. Second time we run into rewards, as we just go a little further, Matthew 5 again, verses 46 and 47. Jesus says this, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" So in here, in this context, when Jesus talks about rewards, he wants us to see, and I'm going to kind of invert it a little bit, but I think you'll see that that I'm saying the same thing. Jesus wants us to see that because of the reward that we will have in Jesus Christ, our lives should be radically different than the world around us. And he can say, you know, if you love people that love you, I mean, he's not saying that's bad, but he's saying that's really not different than anybody. You know, even thieves have managed to get that right. You can do more. The righteousness that you have in me is far greater, and you can do more. And so that brings us then to our text this morning, chapter 6, where, as I say, Jesus really expands his teaching about rewards. And basically, in terms of our text, what we want to look at this morning is Jesus says this: God sees and rewards what you do, even if you do it in secret. Don't give to the needy to be seen and praised by people. That's just kind of a summary of what Jesus has said. God sees what you do, even what you do in secret. So because of that, don't give to the needy to be seen and praised by people. Don't give to the needy to be seen and praised by people. And we're going to look at 3 points this morning. If you look at the structure of chapter 6 of Matthew, just a couple things that I want to kind of point out. First of all, verse 1 is sort of the headline for verses 1 through 18. So if we could kind of summarize verse 1, it's saying, don't do your righteousness when you do your righteousness. And that's kind of a hard word to translate. You're going to hear me say practicing your righteousness because I think that kind of gets it right. What Jesus has in mind here are really what we would normally call religious works. But unfortunately, that word religious has a lot of connotations to it. And so I'm going to avoid it this morning and just stick to practicing your righteousness. But that's what Jesus means. If you think of what you do as you serve God, when you think of what we do as Christians, sort of in the external, in a church, in our work together, Jesus is saying, don't do it before other people in order to be seen by them. And then he gives 3 examples. And those 3 examples are, first, giving to the needy. So it's interesting, first of all, just what Jesus chooses as practicing your righteousness. The very first thing that he talks about is giving to the needy. And so he applies what he said, the main principle in verse 1, to giving to the needy. Then the next thing that he talks about, which we won't look at this morning, is prayer. So this, again, is something that we do when we practice our righteousness. This is something we do. This is part of what it means to do church, if we can put it that way, is we pray. But as we'll see when we get there, we can do that wrong. We can do that with wrong motives. And then the last thing that Jesus talks about is fasting. That one might be kind of a shock for you. Some of you might think, well, that's not even something we should even think about anymore. And yet it's very clear that Jesus assumes that we're fasting and that we're practicing that righteousness. These are 3 examples that Jesus uses. He could use other examples. These are the 3 that he has chosen, and so we're going to focus, of course, on the first this morning. But I want you to see that he starts with this general principle. And that's my first point this morning, is just a statement of that general principle. And it goes something like this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before people to be seen by them. Beware of practicing your righteousness before people to be seen by them. Or maybe put a little more colloquially, when you want to do a good thing, beware of trying to do it in order to have other people look at what you're doing and say, wow, that's great. I had a car when I was growing up. It's one of those old cars. We used to call them beaters. I don't know if that term's even used anymore. But it's basically an old car that is perfect for a teenager because they can thrash it and, you know, no big loss. I had one of those, and amongst its many good traits, it leaked oil. In fact, I think it was kind of a combination. It would leak and burn oil. So as you drove, over time, the oil gauge would go down and you'd run out of oil. And of course, if you let that go on too long, the engine would overheat, it would freeze up, it would warp, all kinds of things could go wrong. Don't ask me how I know that. But I learned through experience that when you have a car like that, you have to really watch the oil. Now, it's interesting. The car I have now, I don't even, they check the oil when I take it in to be repaired and everything. So it's not like it never gets checked, but I never even think about it. But with that car, I thought about it a lot, and I had to be on top of it, or obviously the car would self-destruct. We leak, brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to wanting to do things so that other people see us. There can be a blindness in us. We might not really think that this really applies to us, but Jesus tells us that it does. This is something that it's very much a part of what we are, at least apart from Christ. We want people to see the good things that we do. We want the praise. We want them to say what a great people we are. We want the acknowledgement. And Jesus tells us, watch out. Beware. Don't do that. Look for it in your life and don't do it because it's a trap. It's not something you want to do. Now, Jesus doesn't say that we should not practice righteousness. Sometimes people have almost taken it this way, but that's clearly not what Jesus says. In fact, as I said earlier, Jesus assumes that we're doing these things. He assumes that we're giving to the needy. He's assuming that we have that right. But what he's saying is, and this again he said earlier in Matthew 5, is our righteousness is supposed to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And we're going to see that the scribes and the Pharisees did their works, their good deeds, so that people would see them and they would be praised. And Jesus is telling you, and he's telling me, and he's telling the crowd here, you need to be better than that. You need to be better than that. Your righteousness needs to be far better than that. And if your righteousness is not better than that, in other words, when you do that, Jesus says very clearly here, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So you might think, wow, I'm really doing a great thing. I'm giving to the needy. I'm giving to the poor. I'm either giving to needy people in our congregation, or I'm giving to needy through different organizations. And Jesus says, you're not going to receive a reward from your Father in heaven. Why? Because you're just doing it so that people will look at you and see what you're doing. I found this out the hard way in my very first pastorate. And I know I've shared this with some of you before, but I had what I still consider to be one of the most perfect callings I have ever had. My calling, or my description of what I was supposed to do as a pastor, was literally to just do good things. And to organize groups in the church that did good things. So we started out. In fact, I think this actually came a little bit before the position. This was sort of something that spurred it on. But the first thing that we did was there was a home in our area that that worked with adults with cerebral palsy. And so we developed a ministry to that home. We sent people to the home. We brought people from that home to our church. I have all kinds of stories about that, but I won't share them this morning. But that was the first thing. Then the next thing, again, in this kind of idea of just facilitating the church doing good, we went to youth prisons, and we preached the gospel, and we got to know some of the kids that were in basically prisons, and got to minister to them that way. We went to a convalescent home and started a relationship with the people in that convalescent home. And we even got to the point where we were doing a worship service again, but we were also kind of pairing people up so that they would be able to minister to those in the convalescent home. And the list goes on a little bit further, but I think that's enough for you to get the point. And here's the lesson, the hard lesson I had to learn. I noticed that when I told people what I did, when I was a pastor at that time, that sometimes, not always, but sometimes their eyes would kind of glaze over. And it's almost as if I could hear their thoughts. And their thoughts were something like this: "You are such a good person. You are just an amazing person. I can't believe how holy you are." And brothers and sisters in Christ, I loved it. I absolutely loved to see their admiration and their joy in what I was doing, until I remembered this passage. And then I realized I was going the exact wrong way. This is not something that I should in any way be seeking. So don't do your righteous acts. Don't practice your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Because if you do, you will have no reward from your Father. Well, now Jesus talks specifically about giving to the needy. That's just kind of a general, verse 1 is sort of a general passage about practicing righteousness, but now he's giving specific examples. And when he gives specific examples, and this shouldn't be a shock, he says, when giving to the needy, don't be like the hypocrites, verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So Jesus says, don't do that. What's he talking about? Hypocrites is another interesting word in Matthew, and it's pretty clear as things proceed that it's a word that Jesus uses for the scribes and the Pharisees. So he's still talking about your righteousness needs to surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And it's actually argued whether the scribes and Pharisees did this or whether Jesus is sort of exaggerating in order to make a point. We don't know. There's just not enough evidence one way or the other. I tend to think they really did this, but it's possible that they didn't. Either way, the point's the same. But what they would do, or at least Jesus was kind of magnifying and kind of using a metaphor of what they do, is that whenever they were about to give, they would make sure that everybody knew about it. And, you know, it was like they would go around, blow your own trumpet. You've heard that expression before? Well, that's what they would do. A big trumpet. Okay, Craig's about to give. And then the whole world could look at me, either in the church — the word Jesus uses here is synagogue — but either in the church or even out in the streets. And they could all look at me and say, look at what he's doing. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't sound a trumpet. Don't call attention to what you're doing. Don't try to get praises. Seek praises in the church and in the streets. Because if you do — and this is a phrase that Jesus repeats for every different kind of righteousness, for giving to the needy, for prayer, and for fasting — he says, if you do, Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And that word there actually means they've been paid in full. It's kind of a business transaction kind of term. So why is it that you don't want to seek the praise of people? Why is it that you don't want them to tell you what a wonderful person you are? Because Jesus says when that happens, you've gotten your reward. It's all you're going to get. You're done. Paid in full. And what you're missing, remember from verse 1, is the reward from your Father who's in heaven. You don't want to just get the paid in full. Yes, it feels good. As you know, I told you I've experienced that in my own life. It boosts up our ego. It makes us feel good about ourselves. You know, all kinds of things we can say about it. But that's all we get. And we want more. We want much more. And our Father gives us much more. So that's the second point this morning. To just kind of give a little illustration for this, we've all somewhat recently been through Christmas. Imagine that there you are, Christmas morning, you know, unwrapping all of the presents, and you decide that you want the wrapping paper instead of the presents. So, you know, you go to the present, and you're very careful. You pull the wrapping paper off of the present, and then you set that aside, and you thank the person for the wonderful wrapping paper that they gave to you. And you take the wrapping paper to your room, and you enjoy it, and you say, isn't this great? And you forget about the present altogether. Now you say, well, that's crazy. We want what's in the present. We want the present itself. And Jesus says, yes, that's crazy. That's really crazy to seek people's praise, to seek that external thing when what you can have is the reward of your Father who's in heaven. Third point this morning, and again, this follows from the first point, give to the poor in secret. Give to the poor in secret. You don't want to be singing, "How Great Thou Art," when you're the thou. You want it to be in secret even from yourself. You notice how Jesus puts it here? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. See, it's not even just the praise of people in general, but although that's going to... If that's your goal, that's all you're going to get. But even your own praise, because you can go around saying, I'm pretty good. You know, I gave to the poor. I did this for the needy. You might be, because of this passage, you might not tell anybody about it. But if your left hand knows what your right hand is doing, if you're spending a lot of time thinking about what a wonderful person you are because of what you've done, then it still applies, brothers and sisters in Christ. You've got your reward. Enjoy it. That's all you're going to get. But that's not what you want. Jesus tells us that our Father sees in secret. Verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God doesn't miss anything. Our Father does not miss a thing. You know, you might wonder, well, why is it? You know, you're right, Craig. We are kind of leaking oil and burning oil here. This is something that we're prone to. Why are we prone to that? Why is that so important to us? And I think the answer is really very simple. Because we're afraid we're not going to get credit for what we've done. We're afraid that what we've done isn't going to be acknowledged and appreciated. We're afraid that it's not, in a very real sense, going to have meaning. Because we think that that meaning comes from people recognizing what we do. And so what does Jesus tell us? You don't have to be afraid. God doesn't miss a thing. God sees it all. And he sees everything that you do. And he says he will reward you. Your Father in heaven sees what you do in secret. and he will reward you. I knew a missionary at one time who struggled with this, and as I mentioned earlier, we really all struggle with this. That's why Jesus brings it to our attention. But she struggled with it in a particular way. She felt that really throughout her entire life, she had never been adequately recognized for the things that she did. She was the kind of person that didn't stand out. In fact, even the mission work that she did, it wasn't the more glamorous kind of mission work. So, you know, she would go to these mission conferences and such, and different people would speak about what they did. And hers didn't really sound quite as spectacular and dramatic as what other people described. And she would get ignored. Afterwards, people would go and talk to the other people. They wouldn't go and they would talk to her. And this dug into very deep wounds, because even as a child, she felt that she wasn't adequately recognized. She was extremely talented. But she would be in an art class, for example, and she would do good work, and the teacher wouldn't really acknowledge it. The teacher would acknowledge somebody else's work. It wasn't a one-time thing. I think if it was a one-time thing, this wouldn't have been a problem for her, but it was just an ongoing thing. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, she came to a point in her life, and this wasn't easy, and it's not going to be easy for you or for me, but she came to a point in her life where she realized, you know what? God sees it. God sees it. And isn't that what we really want? Isn't that the acknowledgement that we really want? To know that what we are doing, fallible as it might be, is pleasing to God. That's what our hearts yearn for. When she saw that, it really changed her mission work. And I suggest this morning that when we see that, it can change radically the way that we practice righteousness. Now, a couple things that you might be considering. I found it hard to figure out where exactly to put these in the sermon. There are two things that I do need to address, because this whole talk of rewards bothers a lot of people. And they think that Jesus is somehow getting this wrong. Now, before I even get into my points, let me be very clear about one thing. If we think that Jesus has got something wrong, we're in the wrong. We either don't understand what he's saying, which is often the case, or we do understand what he's saying, and we're just not listening. We're not going to be obedient to it. But that doesn't mean it's wrong to ask questions, because sometimes our doubts and concerns help us to understand what Jesus is saying better, and I think that's what I want to do here. So what are those things? Well, there are some people that will say, you know, wait a second. We shouldn't want rewards at all. We should just do things, you know, if something's good, you should just do it because it's good. You shouldn't be seeking any kind of a reward. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's one of those things that seems right, but it's not. What do we believe? What is our first question in the Shorter Catechism? What's our chief end? It's not to do right? No. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we're made for, what we're built for, what we confess. And that is the reward that Jesus is speaking of, I believe. He's saying, in effect, you want to please God, and we do want to please God. We want to please Him in everything that we do. You're not going to please Him if you want to be glorified and praised by other people. So watch out. So that's the first. Now, the second objection is very close to it. It's different, but it's very similar. And it goes something like this. Wait a second. Paul says, and Paul even uses the same word for, it's usually translated wages, but he uses the same word in the Greek, so you could even translate it reward. He says, you know, a wage, a reward is something that we work for, but our righteousness comes how? by grace. So again, some people say Jesus seems to be saying something very different here. It seems to kind of be conflicting with what Paul's saying. Paul's saying that our righteousness comes by grace. Jesus is saying that we should do righteous acts for the reward that our Father will give us when he sees what we do in secret. Isn't that a conflict? And I'm going to probably revisit this as we revisit, as we get into other texts that talk about rewards, but just for this morning, let me say this. As we follow what Jesus says about rewards, certain things become clear. First is, he doesn't really tell us what the reward is. It's kind of interesting. He doesn't say exactly, you know, what it is that we're going to get. He just says sort of that it's a reward that comes from our Father. Second thing is, it's pretty clear as Jesus develops this whole idea of rewards, is that the rewards that we receive from the Father are far greater than anything we deserve. So they're not like a wage. We can never go to God and say, okay, look, God, I gave $50 to the poor. I didn't tell anybody about it. I'm trying not to remember it myself. Of course, obviously, I'm not doing a very good job. You owe me. I mean, we know that's clearly wrong, and that's not what Jesus is saying. What is Jesus saying? Let me go back to that missionary for a second, because I think that shows us that this is a message, a powerful message of grace in Jesus Christ. He's saying that God sees everything that you do, so trust him, because he will reward you. God sees everything that you do, so trust him. Notice faith. Trust him. Believe in him. Have confidence. How can you do that? How is it that you can believe in him and have confidence in him? Well, look at what he's done through our Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Son to die for us on the cross. When we were his enemies, as Paul tells us, he took upon himself our sins and he gave us his righteousness. So when you do good things, trust him. Trust our Father that he's not only going to do the right thing, but he's going to do way beyond what you can even imagine. You will receive your reward. Let's pray. Father, we first of all this morning confess that we do care way too much about what other people think. We ask that you forgive us for that, and that we, by your grace, would know the joy, the pure joy, of knowing the reward that you give us, no matter what people think, no matter what's going on around us, because of your love for us in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we would see growth in this area in all of our lives, since it is something that we struggle with. We pray that by your grace we would trust you more, that we would trust you with everything that we do. And we pray that by your grace that those works of righteousness that we do, when we practice righteousness, as our text puts it, that they would be true works done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing honor and glory and praise to him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.